The 2025 football season starts right now. Maybe not for you guys at home, but for the guys, they're back in Iowa City. It's time to train. They're going into one of the hardest 8 weeks of the year when it comes to strength and conditioning. And this is a crucial part to prepare them for spring ball, build the foundation for this year. Coach Lima joins the show to help us dissect the intent and goals as we start the new year in the weight room. Let's have a day. Let's go. We are back. Justin Lima, Coach Justin Lima, is back in the new year. This is the extension of the 5-10-5 show. I'm happy to have Coach back. I don't know if this will be called a 5-10-5. It's just going to go up as a plan monthly as our normal episode, either Monday or Thursday. So I'm excited for that. Coach, how are we doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm good. How was your holidays?
Oh, it was awesome.
Is there a best gift that you got or gave this year?
Ooh, I love my JBL portable speaker that I got. Like, that thing bangs when I'm in the gym. And then I did a really good job with like my dad's gift, my mom's, my stepmom, my stepdad, like Megan, the kids. So everybody, I put like a little bit of time aside. So there was no one specific. It was just the fact that I actually did a really good job putting in time to give everybody their gifts.
Feels good, doesn't it?
So good.
I'm a huge as a kid, I was always a Christmas kid. Even like through college, after the bowl games, we'd go home and we'd have like our late Christmas with my family. And as a 20-year-old, I'd still like, all right, everybody, time to separate our gifts into our piles. And I would count and be like, yep, I got more than my brothers. Love it. It's like so greedy for like a college kid, but the spirit of Christmas and it like just lives within me. And now as I'm 30, it's like, I feel more of the other side of like, oh, it feels good to be able to get people stuff, especially when you do put that thought in. But yeah, we're into the new year. We're going to talk today mainly what the guys. So I believe first day of classes is it this week?
Should be next Tuesday. Was the Tuesday after MLK is what we used to do.
I believe it's next week. Yeah. Feels late. But yeah, all the way till the end of January, basically, is they're starting classes.
No. At Towson, we start the last Monday in January. That was a while.
Really?
Bro.
Why? And
the school didn't start then. So they used to have something called mini-mester. So mini-mester would start...
Mini-mester.
So January 2nd, and it would be about 3 weeks of a mini-semester where kids would have class every day. And we used to not be able to train the athletes from typically December 9th or 8th, that Wednesday, second Wednesday in December. And I was not allowed to mandate training again until that very first Monday. It was about 8 weeks off. It was insane. Shout out to Jake View, Kyle Cherry, and the football staff. Now their day one is today, and it's actually really smart. They're going to go 3 days today, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Next week, they'll have MLK off, so they'll go four in a row, Tuesday through Friday, and then they go into 5 days. So it's actually perfect. 3, 4, 5. It's kind of a voluntold, but it's about time that they'll be voluntold. They'll have some meals, some food provided. They'll have the ability to get into their rooms. So that had been ever since I got there in 2018. We had been talking about it. And so I'm happy for Jake and them that they're able to actually get that done.
8 weeks off is crazy.
It's too much. It's like, come on, take a while off. Like even just come back like 5 weeks. Like honestly, who cares? Because when I looked at the math and these football players and, you know, talking about the Hawks, like, when you get to the end of the season and you do the math of when they started in January, they only had spring break off. They'll have maybe 2 weeks discretionary time in May. Then you give them the 4th of July and then a week off. They go and they've trained 90% of the weeks. And it's like they need to get away with how difficult it is. So, you know, at the end, let them dump some of that stress out.
No time off. Stay hard.
Yeah.
8 weeks is a long time. I understand filling the cup, right?
Yeah.
That cup gonna be overflowing.
That cup's dry. There's nothing in it now.
Yeah.
Now it's like
they filled it and then drained it.
Yep.
I mean, 8 weeks, you're starting to get into like the physiological side of training. You're starting to lose.
Detraining. Yeah. You're literally now detrained. It's just as dangerous to be detrained as it is to be overtrained. And that's, we teetered on that. It was bad.
People that flirt with that are coming back and they're like, yeah, let me hop back into it. They go to do like a power clean and their elbow snaps. It's like, okay, well, here we go. These guys go home. Hawks don't have 8 weeks off, but they have a good amount of time off. You know, we're usually playing in a bowl game, so you're looking at about 3 weeks-ish.
Which is perfect. Like right now, our guys, what, they play the 29th?
The 30th, yeah.
30th. So they played the 30th. So if we round up, MLK is the 20th. Yeah, they had 3 weeks off.
About 3 weeks.
Yeah, good.
When you're a strength coach and you're sitting there and you're like, you know, you guys would always give us cards for the – it's like, hey, here's your card. Take your card home. Which is also
just wild that you guys didn't have Team Builder, because like I could have just been like, hey, your Team Builder's uploaded. And then if you actually want to see what somebody's doing on the back end of it, I can see if, you know, Tyler's been doing what he's supposed to be doing. But like instead, like so it this has my Goldfinch one pulled up.
Oh, I know, like, because I'm on the DeMarco Team Builder. Don't worry.
Gotcha. Okay.
But for those listening at home, we're just talking about an app. You know, we're 21st century here, where you can get your workout right on your phone that you're on all the time anyway.
The Hawks are not. They got it. Come on, y'all. Figure it out, please.
Versus Iowa, where we were stuck in the, you know, we'll fax it to you.
Do you remember we would literally, so we would put it in your locker and then we'd bring a copy in the very last, like one of the last breakfasts, we'd be sitting there and be like, oh, Kluver, you're going to get eggs. Here's your lift card.
Take this home. Right? Fly home with it
and use it to lift. Like, come on.
And regardless of whether it's on your phone or not, it does certainly make it easier if it is. These guys go home. What is the strength staff's the expectation is, hey, go home and enjoy your time, but like try and move, right? Try and get these lifts in.
Yep.
What is the actual like expected success rate over the course of 120 guys? Like, what do you guys actually...
Who cares, realistically? Like, honestly, it's you don't care. It's you give it to them and you hope that they do it. But realistically, what I told my guys and hopefully what coaches are telling their guys is, here's a card if you want to do something. I understand if you don't want to put a barbell in your hand, or even if, you know, you, Tyler Kluver, you don't want to do what you're doing, or let's say you go back to Marshalltown and there's nowhere for you to train, but you have access to get into this room because one of your friends and they play somewhere else and you want to do their lift. I don't care. Okay. Just do something. Or, hey, your girlfriend really likes Zumba, whatever. Do something. If she's been bugging you to do it, do it. Like, now's your time to say yes. Cause when you look in the textbooks, this is your active recovery period. Yeah. So, you know, I think we went overboard where, like, you know, we're still programming sets of 8 on squats a week. Like, no one's going to do that. So don't program it to where they're going to be like, you're foolish for giving me this. Give them a card where it's like, hey, this is stuff that we usually don't do. Enjoy doing it. So that way, again, we talk about leadership capital. If I'm going to be telling you what to do and I'm going to be taking withdrawals from your ability to listen to me, I should be putting in some deposits, and you need to put some deposits of like, hey, just kind of do whatever you want. So you give the kid, and this is the dichotomy of it. You give the kids the lift card, but you also have to program as if nobody did it, because you can't do too much too soon too fast, especially with, you know, these new kids coming in. So first 2 weeks during your transition period, you got to be very vanilla. I heard a coach say that they put a VBT unit on for every rep during that accumulation period, and I loved it, because it's like, a, you can now, there's proof of every rep that was done, but also if the rep is fast, now you know it wasn't too heavy and it wasn't inappropriate load, because you cannot inherently move 90% at greater than 0.65, you know, meters per second. So it's a very simple CYA. I put my Vitruve unit on. I know that I asked you, Tyler Kluver, to do the appropriate number of reps, because it counts your reps and it's going to count your velocity. So
I actually really like the idea of using the tech coming off of a rest period like that to gauge readiness. I mean, that is, because you could have 100 guys come back into the weight room on January 20th and, hey, kind of looks like everybody's moving. Like, you know, you can't put great eyes. You yourself can't put awesome eyes. Like, I know exactly how this guy did across 100, 120 athletes for that first day back, that first 2 days back. But if you have the numbers and they're telling you what they're telling you, you're like, okay, these 70 guys are moving like they should. These 30, they were not quite up to where we want them to go. Maybe their 3 weeks off implicated something different than, and that allows you to individualize it a little bit more. Wow. That's cool. That is cool. Where's the line between tech and too much tech?
I think the line falls in putting it on every single movement. Like, there's a company out there that's like, look at this. It's a strap that you can put on a barbell. You can put it on a kettlebell. You can put it on your ankles. You can put it on a lat pull. And it's like, listen, do we really need to VBT a kettlebell? Because it's like, what if somebody doesn't have a heavier kettlebell? What are you going to, okay, cool. Hey, we needed more load. But like, that's also not scalable in a team setting. No. So it's like, it's a minor movement for a reason. You can't major in the minors. Put it on your major movements, your pushes, you know, your benches, your inclines, your military, your Olympics, your jumps, your lower bodies, your pull-ups. Okay. And that's where it should stop, you know?
Yeah, the main compound lifts.
Like Kluver, if I'm like, hey, Kluver, let's see how fast you can do this bicep curl. I hope you'd just punch me in the face, be like, Lima, you're an absolute freaking idiot.
I might not punch you in the face, but I could see Drake being like, dude, fuck you. I'm just curling.
Thank you. Correct. Why do you think we didn't even program a weight? Like, that was one of the few exercises where it was like an open XL square times 10. Like, just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Or it would be bicep choice. Like, you want to do a curl with a bar? Cool, Kluver. Drake, you want dumbbells? Awesome. Ward, you like it with hammer fat grips? Have a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's a whole thing is as like technology becomes more is like, you're going to have people who overshoot on it. And they're like,
here's a perfect example where technology can go too far. And if you have tech without context. So I've been doing a lot more zone two cardio in this start of the year, right?
Love it.
And my resting heart rate, I would wear an Apple Watch and it started waking me up because it said your resting heart rate dropped below or your heart rate dropped below 40 for longer than 10 minutes. And it would like buzz me like wow. I'm sleeping. So it's like not using that anymore. Like,
dude, you're a fit guy. 40?
I'm like, I literally got rid of it. I'm like, I'm not wearing, like, multiple times during the night, I'm like, I am now not wearing this anymore. You don't, like, this tech doesn't understand that I am asleep and my heart rate should be that low because I'm in shape.
God. Like,
get rid of it.
I wish I could get that low. I'm just not there. It always killed me, like, McCarron, Meerkat, like all these guys who had like heart rates that they'd walk around campus, like going up hills and stuff at like 54. And when they sleep at night, they're down at like 39. And I'm like, dude, your blood and your lungs work different than mine because I'm chilling at 60. I'm right at 60. All the CrossFit training that I've done, all the zone two. I mean, I have done 2 to 3 hours of zone two a week for the last 3 years.
Wow.
And I might be at like 56 when I'm laying in bed, like, and that's down from like 62. So, but yeah, there is tech. There's certainly those, and that even goes to the players too. Like sometimes the wearables that they use or teams might have them wearing to track their HRV or whatever it may be. It's like, it's not always right. And
we talked about it before. Like I wore an Oura ring and it caused me more problems than like, remember the scientific method is there's a problem. Let's investigate how to fix it. If there's no problem, don't go doing it.
Yeah. And the psychological aspect of like, oh shit, I'm seeing ghosts. That becomes more of an issue than the actual potential problems that it's trying to tell you about. So interesting. I want you to go back and touch on what you said. The dichotomy of, I don't know how you explained it, the dichotomy of instruction, giving guys instruction versus also gaining a little bit of credit by telling them that they can kind of do what they want.
Hmm.
Say more about that.
So, I mean, your guys' days and college football and even at Towson, like everything is, you're told when you're doing what. And so if you can start to give kids some choice within parameters, it's huge, especially once they like, yeah, you don't like Everton Tate. I'm not like, oh man, hey, whatever you want. Like they're young. So it's like, hey, do you want a ham sandwich or a turkey sandwich? You're going to get protein, right? I'm giving you have less choice.
Parenting right? Hack, by the way, you don't give them the choice of yes or no. You give them the choice between which yes.
And so it's like, all right, like, you know, kid, like, so the whole point is you're not going to get as many choices when you're young, because we have to establish trust. The older you get, it's like, hey, okay, you don't like this movement. Why not? Let's find a way to get the stimulus that we needed out of it. So if it's a heavy unilateral emphasis and you don't like going rear foot elevated, but you like doing this, or how can I work within our world? And a perfect example for me would be our quarterbacks or our kickers and punters. So my quarterbacks were not on a quarterback card. Each quarterback had their own card, because I had some quarterbacks that when we cleaned, loved to clean. I had some quarterbacks that loved to hang power snatch. I had some quarterbacks that loved to barbell jerk. I also had some that liked to do dumbbell variations and do a dumbbell jump or a dumbbell snatch or a dumbbell push press. Some of them like to use a landmine. Same thing with my kickers and punters. So for their squats, whether it be pit shark, a goblet with a slant board, a back squat, a front squat, they really not all fit the same mold. And those three positions are so completely different than anything on the football field. So I gave them room within the box. Hey, you don't want to do a snatch? Cool. Aiden, you can do dumbbell box jumps, and let's do some, you know, overhead presses. So we get the explosiveness at your legs and some overhead pressing that you're missing out there. But I didn't want to make Aiden O'Neill do what Pat Toomey was doing, because Pat Toomey wanted to lift and Aiden didn't, but they did two different things. Or my quarterbacks were, you know, Vinny Amendola loved to be a meathead and go and bench really, really heavy versus, you know, Chris Ferguson wanted the Swiss bar. Okay, cool.
I think about Ryan Boyle, who had a big bench and liked benching, but then Uyghurs would do all of the accessory stuff to be like, yeah, I don't know if I want the bench to tighten my pecs so that my arms sort of internally rotate. Like he would, that's a cool way to put it.
Or CJ would high pull instead of catching a clean. Like, but again, like that was where we still could have done it. Like we were just young. Like we could have done a better job with their training there too. And not making it where like, oh, the quarterbacks do this. Like, sure, give them a little bit more freedom, but you have to be really, really willing to relinquish the reins and trust your athletes, which is why you do it down the road a little bit, or even with your younger freshman, like, hey, I'm going to mentor you to do, like, you're a young quarterback. Cool. You're going to kind of follow what this person does. Notice how this parameter is within it. And it's, and you just explain it to him again. Hey, because of your position, you have a little bit more leeway in this individualization that we're leading you down.
The psychological aspect of that is maybe what even like, I'm obviously nerdy about all of those specific lifting examples too. But the psychological aspect is even more fascinating to me, because you have this group, this demographic of young men, old children, young men.
Great call. Old children. I'm stealing that.
They're old children.
Old children. I am so stealing that.
Because that's really what they are. And maybe that's me being 30 looking back 10 years ago.
We were old children at one point, though. So it's we were old children.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, they are still, they're actually still developing. Like,
their brains are not developed till they're 23. So they're old children. Bravo.
Mine took longer than that. Actually, might not still be there. I might have autism. I don't know.
I got some tism too. Don't ask my wife. She hates when I say that.
I know. And my wife is a special ed teacher.
It's all a spectrum. And right, maybe my dial's turned down a little bit more.
The fact that it is a spectrum makes me think everybody's on it.
I agree.
Like you're a one. Yeah. Anyway, maybe a whole nother discussion. But and maybe this even I think a lot of this is actually what got Doyle in trouble too. As an 18 to 22 year old kid, it's hard for a lot of guys, most guys, at some point, even if it's just a little bit, to be told what to do 24/7.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Yeah,
like hey, I'm grown, you know, like I'm a big boy. I'm living by myself. I'm off at college.
To interject, so when I was down at TCU, I heard Kaz tell the guys, if you still on mom or dad's cell phone plan, you ain't grown.
You're not grown. Shut
up. That was great.
And this is good. But you don't understand that when you're in it.
Just like you don't understand you're in a bad relationship when you're in the bad relationship, sure. Right? Like
or it that takes was longer to realize. Yeah.
That was the example that, you know, we learned and you guys taught about, and ego is the enemy. Like when you're in the moment and you're not detached from it, you can't see it.
Yeah. And those guys aren't going to recognize the currency of authority versus responsibility, like given responsibility, right? But like what you're talking about, like I have to manage that level, that scale of how much do I tell these guys what to do? I'm starting to get a little preachy, like, you know, the last couple of days, I'm giving a lot of direction here versus when can I give them some responsibility on their own? When can I give them a little bit of freedom of movement within the parameters? And I've never thought about that balance, but man, is that important. Because when you get too far to the side of, fuck, this guy, all he does is tell me what to do. He just bosses me around.
Yep.
That's when you start to feel singled out, even though you might not be. You start to feel like, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? And that's not it. Hopefully you're not actually being singled out, but you can start to feel that way because all you're hearing is this authority. You're like, man, like, can I just like make some decisions for myself? And a strength coach is in a position of authority naturally, but like someone who can equally balance in the right way, giving their players some freedom, giving their staff some freedom.
So that's where I feel like I did a really good job of that, because I'd kind of do, I think everybody's seen the Dan Campbell clip where he's like, hey guys, if we didn't have to practice live, I wouldn't.
Great.
Right. And so it's like, he's just speaking honesty to the players. And so that's what I would do. It's like, listen, there would be times where, you know, let's say a young guy like was upset about something or like, hey, I don't want to do this 1x20. Like, look at the players doing, you know, using the Vitruve unit, going and doing fast things. Like, I don't want to keep doing this 1x20 program. And you just listen, hey guys, sure, I know you want to, and you're going to get there once you've finished this program. No different that you don't skip math 101 and go to trigonometry. So you just speak the life into it and say, listen, I know you see it. It will come for you. You're just not there. And then one of the most powerful words in strength in sports is yet. You're not there yet. We will get there. I'll be open. I'll be honest. If I'm hiding secrets from you, oh, well, that's a special program. No, it's not. The only thing that we're doing is we're able to auto-regulate it based on their nervous system, but I have to trust you because your nervous system and your output could be shot because you decided, like we've said before, I don't want to lift hard today. I'm going to stay up. The new NCAA came out or the new whatever video game came out. I stayed up late. Yeah. And so it's like, you have to build that trust, no different than like, I used to let my staff, when I would go on vacation at Towson, they'd stay at my house. I used to stay at Doyle's house when he would go and visit Declan, where Declan was in high school or in JUCO playing baseball and he needed somebody to watch Boston. I'd stay at his house or do whatever I would do. It wasn't that, like, you don't just do that with the minute you meet somebody, right?
Right.
It's like a relationship. Like, I didn't just marry my wife on day one. You build that relationship. And then after time, now you can do more. It's the same exact thing. And just some people want to kind of skip that step, but we can't.
We talked with Jay Higgins last night. We had him on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Fucking awesome episode.
That's awesome.
So yeah. This episode that you and I are recording will go up Monday. As we record this on Wednesday, he'll go up tomorrow on Thursday.
Gotcha.
So people will have heard the Jay episode. And if you haven't heard the Jay episode and you skipped that for some reason, please go listen. Him and Kevin got into like some pretty X and O talk defensive stuff, like where he was explaining down to the point where Higgins was explaining how they had this coverage that Parker installed based on what Amani Hooker did like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Based on like a specific alignment pre-snap. And it was like me and Grant, the producer kid that we have, we're just sitting there listening to Kevin and Jay talk about this. And we were like kids in a candy shop. It was unbelievable. But why I mentioned that was part of that conversation was Jay explaining how he was explaining why Coach Wallace was such a good linebacker coach. And the overarching concept was that he doesn't coach every single linebacker the same. In fact, he figures out quicker than everyone else and better than everyone else what each individual guy and what the tandem of linebackers he has starting at any point, what works best for them. And he lets them work within that. He said Jack Campbell and Seth Benson, he gave them the keys to everything, and they had about 100 different checks for any specific thing that they could get up to the line, and he just let them run with that. Whereas like Jay and Nick Jackson, the last couple years, they just wanted a call, get up to the line, go tackle the ball. And the way he explained it was like almost art. And
chef's kiss.
It reminds me of what we just talked about was giving certain guys what they need to be successful and not always just coaching people the same way or addressing people the same way. And that's pretty cool. As a coach, did you see examples of guys who understood that concept, who did sort of understand that concept of, I just don't know it all. And if I listen to the coach, like that, they just get it sooner. And then all of a sudden their progression and their, how well they're doing in the weight room or even in the classroom or just as a player on the team, it advances quicker because they understand the concept of I need to buy into the coaches. Like I need to give myself over to the coach and then let them coach.
Jesus Gibbs, the kid that I have right here, the article of when he got back from his ruptured Achilles in 6 months, like that kid.
What did he play?
D end, 262.
Ooh,
bro. But the best part about it was he just let himself be, depressed for the first month. Like,
yeah.
Understood that this was the severity of it.
Yeah.
And then was like, all right, let's go to work. And then he trusted Kyle Cherry, the head athletic trainer, and I to do our job. And we used the tech the right way. We used the isometric mid thigh pulls. Like, dude, you want to talk about nerding out? Like, we did isometric mid thigh pulls to see how it's like, wait a minute, why are you doing a kind of a quad or a hip test? Well, okay, the calf has to be able to transmit force. And then we're going to, yeah, we'll do a calf raise. We'll do a hamstring test. We'll, you know, all the different assessments. We'll do acceleration run, a fly, a curve, a COD, like all the different things. And we had our Excel spreadsheet of, you know, making sure that we touch this quality and we're not overlapping, but we're also not missing anything. And the kid trusted and would sleep and rest. And so by the end of spring ball, so he ruptured his Achilles in the season in 21. And then by the end of spring ball, in 22, the kid is literally playing, like doing one-on-ones and pass rush.
My God.
If we had a season, he would have been able to play.
Side note, Achilles is like my true fear. Same. It's like my one fear.
That's why I like still do rudiment jumps just like all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do a lot of jump roping. I like double unders for the CrossFit stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to like, I've been bad at them. So I've been trying to do more. And I can feel the Achilles get a little tight, get a little sore. And I'm like, oh no, it's coming. It's like, my time is coming.
I have a golf ball under my desk that I'll just roll my feet to take care of that tissue all the time. So I never like, that's how petrified I am.
Does rolling the bottom of your foot help with your Achilles?
Yeah. Cause your Achilles and the, you know, so your calf connects up because any of our listeners out there, muscle doesn't connect right to bone. It goes muscle, tendon, bone. And then when you lift, that muscle tendon connection becomes more pliable. When you jump and sprint, it gets more stiff, but again, it goes muscle, tendon, bone, fascia. So underneath your feet, that bottom of your foot, your plantar fascia, that obviously also connects back up where the bottom of your foot does. So real quick, if you roll out the bottom of your feet and stretch, you're going to notice that you have a little bit more length because you've improved the tissue on the bottom of your foot, which is why we would do all of the rolling out the minute we had the lacrosse balls and the rock mats and all that for you guys.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'm going to start using this foot roller three times as much as I have been then.
There you go.
So that's what roundabout conversation, a lot of stuff. Guys are coming off. Ideally, these guys come back filled up and motivated to this, you know, to this spring session.
Don't be a firecracker, right? Like, and that was another quote from one of my mentors, Drew Wilson at Maryland. Yeah. Anybody can be a firecracker, boo, and then
fizzle. Yeah.
Right. Because I give a lot of credit. I loved what Ray said. Whenever we would get freshmen in, people would always be like, hey, how is so-and-so? And he's like, we don't know. We're meeting their representative. We haven't met the true them yet. If you think about it, this is who they're trying to show us something. This isn't okay. Who they really are.
Yeah.
We're meeting their representative.
Wow.
So right now, weeks 1, 2, 3, GPP phase, still kind of vanilla. Week three, it's new. You start to see in week four and week five. So right now, everybody's gonna be excited. And that's always the message. Hey, great. I'm glad you're excited right now, because a penny, like, you can't get to that $5 million on day 30 without the penny. So you need the penny, you need the small thing, right? So let's be happy that you're here. But let's also remember, it is still just a penny. Let's not freak out. Like, where are you gonna be in week five when it really kind of sucks? You're not at spring ball. We're not doing, you know, skills and drills and getting ready for it. You're lifting 85-90%. And when you look back on what you've done, and it seems like winter break was forever ago because it was 5 weeks. And
oh, it's the longest 5 weeks of your life.
Spring break is still 3 weeks away, and you're just like, that's why, remember, plant, cultivate, harvest, right? And that's why I think Jake Hillier's team name was Cultivate, because everybody's excited when you plant the seeds. Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited when you harvest it, right? But to cultivate the land is not as much fun, but that's what helps the healthy harvest. So I think it was Hillier's team. Maybe there was Cultivate. Maybe it was Team Harvest. I can look it up, but I think it was Hillier and Pleva, their team name.
Was I on that team?
It was the 2015 team.
Shit. I don't remember.
I'll look it up, but I got it.
Do you have all that?
All the Hawkeye champions? I got the whole thing, bro.
I can't remember. I know that I was on Gervas's team my senior year. And
yeah, Hillier's team was on the bottom. So if you're looking at the Excel sheet,
I think he was
the bottom left-hand corner. And I think it was Team Harvest.
You're a psychopath for that.
I know I am. Well aware.
That's insane. That's 10 years ago. You're right. The cultivation is, man, talk about cultivation. Week five. Dude, cold winter. You drive that moped in the – it's been cold this week. You get them gloves on. Moped.
You're like,
moped,
this shake is the same shake I've had.
Oh, yeah.
This peanut butter. Oh, it starts was so good at first. And, oh, man, can Graze get some new food? Like, dude, all the thoughts. Where are you at? Where are you at in week five? That's what I want to know. Anybody can be pumped.
We need a documentary done over the course of those 5 days of just like, how does everybody look right now? It's February, you know, it's February 25th. How are we doing? You know, like, you're right. That week, weeks 4, 5, 6, 7, you start to get exposed.
All right. Like, yeah, the 17th. So right after Valentine's Day, you look at the calendar. So
hung out with your girlfriend that weekend, yep. And you're like,
gosh, oh. I can't wait to go see my family. Oh,
spring break.
It's not until the 17th. Now you're looking at like, oh yeah, it's right smack, dude. The end of February. Where are you at? There's no 7-on-7. There's no skills and drills. It's still just speed, lift, condition.
You're staring down 8 sets of rope conditioning, freaking 48 sets of slide boards, and you can't even put the slippers on, and Doyle's yelling at you. God, that's PTSD right there, baby.
Oh, yeah.
God, what else was bad? Flipping the tire? Maybe, I mean, if you're a pussy, you can't flip the big tire, but
towards the end, we start now putting in, you got shuttles again. So you got 60s coming up. You got cut 85s. Then we created the 85 cut where it was run 55 yards, stop, run to the 15, run back. So
yeah.
It starts to get spicy.
It gets really spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys always did that, right? Or like the interns always tested those GPPs. And
the interns and us. So like it was me, Weissman, and DeMarco that came up with the 85 cut. Because it was like, hey, how can we make this harder? I was like, oh, cool.
Because you're putting the cuts in at the end of the rep where you're more fatigued.
Correct.
I love that.
Like, oh, you're tired? Let's make you more tired.
Talk about Achilles tendons. and this is the hardest 8 weeks of training in the year, right?
Heaviest.
No? Heaviest. Heaviest.
Main emphasis to our listeners out there right now is increase movement capacity, increase movement quality, and increase strength. So fix any sort of dysfunction pain from the season and get really, 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 really stinking strong. Then in the summer is when that's when y'all would say it's probably the worst because it's heavy stuff, but then the conditioning and agility is priority number one. So that, because of the lactate, you know, suck I'd say people say summer's worse than spring. If you just really hate lifting heavy, then you probably would, like, if you're somebody that's like, oh, I'll run for days, I hate the weight room, you'll hate January.
And certainly guys are swayed to one side or the other of that. There's the other general stress of, I think there's no more practice, there's no more games, there's no football. You're
nothing really in sight. Yeah.
And so you get this feeling as an athlete, especially a young athlete, you're like, oh, our workload is.
Yeah, we should do nothing. Season's over.
Our workload, like, all we have to do is lift and go to class. But then you start this heavy lifting. Like, these are some serious workouts. And your body feels like, you know, I don't feel as good as I thought I might. And you still have that class workload, which, depending on who you are, again, this is student athlete to student athlete. That could be heavier on you than others, right? Yeah. You could handle that better than others. And if you're not good at handling the academic side of things, that's first 8 weeks of spring can be even more brutal. If you're someone who doesn't like school, me, then the summer was like, oh, no school. All I have to worry about is the training. It's a different sort of, like, you still have that anxiety when you pull up to the complex every day. You're like, oh, I'm signing up for 3 hours of suck here. But at least it's just like physical effort, and I don't have to worry about like math or biology or something, you know, like, so they're those two periods are definitely 2 8-week periods that I still wish I could, for the walk-ons, I'd love to do like a little video series of like Kevin and Kluve return to Iowa City and they do workouts with the current team. I want to go back and work out with them so bad. So you're trying to get super strong. And as far as you guys, we'll kind of finish around here. Testing wise, how are we measuring that? Is there a specific metric that you guys are looking for in week 7 or 8 of that first 8 weeks of spring, right before spring ball? We maxed out with sets of like up to five around.
Yeah, that was kind of the mistake. I didn't like how the fact that they're giving bumps based off of a cluster is wrong. That's like those are such inflated maxes. So that was really wrong. So wrong. There's nothing dangerous about doing a 1RM testing if it's done properly. That kind of got a bad rap. But the movements in the weight room that we had on the record board, which if I ever took over Iowa football, that record board would come down just like the one at Towson football came down the minute I got hired. But the record board, it was back squat, bench, clean. Trap bar deadlift we would assess, but it wouldn't go into somebody's player profile. We then also had the 10-yard dash, the vertical jump, the 5-10-5. I like the 5-10-5, you know, we let you guys brace. I liked how we had two coaches time it and y'all would get the average of our two.
Yeah.
That was good. The 10-yard dash was flawed because it was Coach Doyle starting it all the time. And there's a huge difference between who's starting it versus who's not, which is why I love having somebody technically run an 11-yard dash where they just start 1 yard behind electronic 10-10. So there's no variability. It starts when you run through, it stops when you end through. I know it would skew everything, but it would actually make everything valid and reliable. Then the vertical jump stuff we would do on the jump mats. Fine. Do that there. And we would kind of do it where we would do all of what we called the performance indicators. So jump, sprint, change in direction on the Monday. And then we would do like bench on the day after that. So your lower body could recover. And then I think we would go clean and squat. So that way we would have all those numbers. And we would always be trying to compare, you know, you to your best self, but then also to the last time period. So, you know, March to March, because that was when you went through a similar training stimulus. And we would always really emphasize that during July, because it's like, all right, maybe you didn't set a PR in your lifts, but you know, a lifetime PR, but you actually set a PR from, like, you're better from this July to that July.
Yeah.
So just having the context is how we would go about it. For me at Towson, our movements were trap bar deadlift, bench press, RDL, hang power snatch, front jerk, pull up, 1RM, like that went into people's test data. And then the 10-yard dash, again, fully electronic. So they'd start 1 yard back out of a 2-point stance, because you don't need to be in a 3-point stance till pro day. That's a whole nother conversation. A fly 10 with a 30-yard build for skill players, 20 for linemen and 20 for linemen and your specialists. And then I would do a 505 test, which is slightly different than the pro agility 505. And we would time that right and left leg. We would also time the pro agility 5-10-5. But what we did is you can have your lasers automatically time it. So I can put you in the middle of my timing lasers, and it'll start once you move out of it. And so I can get your fully automatic, and I wouldn't have the kids again touch the hand to the line. It would be the foot, because again, joint angle specificity. And I can still be like, hey, you missed the line with your foot.
Touch the line.
Like, oh, it's, man, that simple. Like, dude, you can still be like, hey, get there, touch the line with your foot. Like, there's this whole notion of like, oh, we're going to be sloppy just because you're not touching with your hand. No, you can still be really detailed.
There's maybe someday we should do like a mini episode, five biggest indicators of you failing out of the program at some point. And one of
them is a great idea.
One of them is you don't touch the line on your reps. Oh my God. If you don't touch the,
if you false started ever, it was like you, it was like you hated Iowa football and never wanted to see it succeed. It's like,
it's one of those things where it's like,
I jumped outside once in like 1,000 workouts.
Your teammates look at you like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, dude.
You clearly don't care.
Yeah, like, you're done. You're done. Okay. We as a team are voting that you're done.
You're off the island.
Yeah. You get voted off. You've been evicted. Last question. Specifically for young guys who are trying to put on body weight and good size. I think specifically the one that comes to mind, like this year, best example, that Reese Vandersee kid, receiver, got some good reps early on in the non-conference and then kind of disappeared as an option, Big Ten play. Like, there's a level of like physicality and size that you just have to have. And he was a little bit behind that this year. Great frame, good natural talent, obviously, has to get bigger and more physical to play receiver in the Big Ten. Is this a time frame where, from the strength coach side of things, because you guys are monitoring this, guys start to put on some of that size a little bit easier out of the season? They don't have practice every day. Like, yeah.
And they can get in a better sleep routine. And that the thing that I was going to say to you is it just starts with sleep, because if we talked about the cup, right? If I don't put the plug in the bathtub for my kids to take a bath, it doesn't matter how much water is coming in. It will continue to drain out.
Yep.
So if you're not sleeping, regardless of all the lifting and the eating you're doing, you're not going to maximize your gains. So getting into a better sleep hygiene, they'll be in a more consistent sleep pattern. This is where those kids will make that that big leap.
I wish someone would have just beat my ass freshman year and like brainwashed me into, dude, you need to sleep, because I didn't understand how important it was. And I've always been someone who loved my sleep, but like, I got sucked into Netflix on my laptop in my bed at night, and I'd stay up till 11 or midnight, like every night.
And that's where your job now as the older players to try to talk to those players to,
I know. And then
that's why you guys around the program are so important, to say, hey, you know, help speed that process up of, hey, listen to the coaches. You know, the one of the worst things as a coach is to hear your athletes say, you were right, coach, I wish I would have listened.
I know.
And you want to just try to speed that up without ruining the fact that they had to go through that. So
the Golden Hawk, like a lot of my buddies, Kevin, Josie, like all of them hit their Golden Hawk their freshman year.
Which is easy to do, because you have a big, like, it's easy to get.
It should be.
Yeah.
I didn't do it because I missed like two or three of my marks. And it was because like, I couldn't get stronger. No shit. I was sleeping 5 hours.
Yep.
And it's like, if I have one regret over my college career, like physically, it was like, I didn't sleep for the first
year. Regrets.
No regret. No
Not
regret.
Even one letter.
No regrets, dude. Good episode. Lot to think about. These guys are coming back. Very important time of year. And then not only that, but then, you know, with the transfer portal and all that we've talked about, there's new faces. You have to integrate them. Yep. That's a whole new, we talked about the issues with who knows what they're coming from training wise, what their training age is, what they're comfortable with, their movement patterns, what they've been taught. So there's a lot going on the strength conditioning side of things. And there's not a lot of time, even though it feels long. This 8 weeks, you have to get prep for spring ball, which is a brutal time because the lifting doesn't stop. And the practice starts back up, and they are long, tough practices.
Coach Ferentz loves some practice, y'all.
Sure does. We'll talk more about that in the coming months, as well as I'm excited to do like a little pro day episode. We'll talk the guys who graduated and we'll talk what that looks like from your perspective and a whole lot more. Coach Justin Lima back for 2025. Happy to have him. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. We'll see you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.